From the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands
Allow
radio station.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
Thanks to Chris Black and Adam Abdallah for producing today. Appreciate you letting me sit in, Yurko. Carmen's back tomorrow. Crosstalk is brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars. Or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app.
Do you have Epicenter on here Saturday or Sunday? Do you have Epicenter?
I didn't have a play on it.
No?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't have a play. I watched it, though. Epicenter was dominant. Yeah. It's the first time Steve Asmussen has won the Travers.
Yeah.
You know that? First time Steve Asmussen has won the Travers.
Unbelievable, because he's the all-time
winningest trainer.
Yeah, winningest trainer.
He's never won the Derby, though. This would have been his first year with Epicenter until Strike Rich came in and got him right at
the
end.
Was Epicenter the favorite?
Yes.
Yes, he was chalky.
Didn't miss anything.
Even money favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. Just thought Johnny may have watched it.
I watched it for sure. Yeah, I definitely checked it out. But no, I did not put a wager. I did not have any wagering interest.
Did you have any money on the Bears to beat the Cleveland Browns, huh?
I did not. I mean, I don't know what the spread was, but they only beat them by how much at the
end. That's true. Maybe you just played them on the money line, though.
Yeah. No, I didn't play them on the
money line. Well, I'm sure they were underdogs, weren't they, on the road? Or maybe not.
Probably not because the Bears were going to play their starters, and right. I don't think that was – I don't know, though. Yeah. I don't know the pregame.
I didn't know the line going in. I don't bet preseason football.
After that game, they'll never be underdogs again.
Yeah.
Oh, they're 7-point underdogs next Sunday.
Hey, you guys see my tie list?
This guy's got to be drinking this Kool-Aid over.
Dane Cook walked in.
That was fun, though, right? To see an offense in rhythm. And
it's nice better throws. Than the hot mess that we're used to, right?
6 for 16. I wouldn't want to see that.
What do they say always? It starts with make your layups. And by that, it's just a simple term. Yeah. Make it look like it makes sense. Right. And
nice
they
read.
Do. It
make
makes sense.
It makes sense. And it, that's they do. The
they
motto.
Make it, yes.
Nice read on the first touchdown.
Yes.
Corner started to squat a little bit.
Yes.
Get distracted. And,
beautiful
make the throw.
Beautiful throw.
Are you buying my man crush on the left tackle? I don't think he made one mistake.
Well, I didn't look at the film that closely.
I did.
Yeah, I did not.
But how did it film? You don't have the all 22.
I watched it twice.
I get it, but like, do you know, this is what makes me chuckle when everyone goes, I watch film. I'm a really tough grader most of the time, too. Do you know, and I'm not trying to be an ass.
No, you can be an ass.
Do you know what you're actually... That sounds too arrogant.
What you're saying? Yeah, no. Do you know what you're saying?
But better than ask kids is, do you know what that kid's being asked to do
Thank
on
you.
Every play?
Of course not.
Then your evaluation, no offense, is kind of hollow.
I just saw the guy lined up against him not get to the quarterback, and I was like,
fair. He was on baseball tonight yesterday. He knows what he's doing.
I know about Albert Pujols. I just don't know much about Braxton Jones.
That's
I would rely on Johnny. No offense, Jess, than I am on you.
Called
when it comes
the first
down
question
to
I asked when somebody
him.
Blows the coverage, I said, what was the coverage? How do I know who blew the coverage if I don't know what the coverage is?
Yeah.
So I can't sit there and anticipate. I tell you what I think happened, but until I know the play, I can't tell you who blew the coverage.
Wait, but at least Waddle, surface evaluation.
I'm cautiously optimistic, no question. I like their plan. Again, I think what ends up happening between now and the end of the season, hopefully there's an upside surprise, but the talent gap between the better teams in the league and them is just so stark at this point. It's going to take a year or two for them to close that gap. I just like seeing them do things that make sense. Like Luke Getsy knows he's got an athletic, dynamic quarterback, get him out on the edge. Now, when you play Cleveland in the regular season, Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett are going to be hip to the boot. So then it becomes a game of chess where what are you going to do to adjust to what they're going to do? But at this point, I like everything that I've seen. The plan doesn't give me indigestion the way it did watching last 2 years.
I'm confident that if those guys played, what I know we wouldn't get is last year's game plan.
Yeah.
Against them.
Yes.
We wouldn't get a kid who wasn't protected, who wasn't playing to his strengths. Yeah. Look, it may not look like we saw, but man, on Friday, I asked for one touchdown. We hadn't seen a first team touchdown.
Right. You got three?
I got three.
Yeah.
I got three.
Three times.
A week ago now, we were led to believe, coming off the Seattle game, that they weren't even going to play their starters. We said on the show, they've got to play. This isn't enough time. They've got to play. So not only they're listening, they're open-minded, they're doing the smart things. They played them, and not only did they play them, they played well. How could you not enjoy that?
It's fantastic. It's the best way you can go into the regular season again.
Yeah, 0-0.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Love going now,
but you're going in with confidence as a young team that's trying to build a foundation. Like, again, if you're trying to sell me that this team's now going to win 12 games, like, I'm not going to kill your spirit, but I don't agree. I think the season will still be a bit of a struggle because the talent gap is still pretty large between them and the better teams. But right now, how many weeks have we been saying the process? You know, the procedural issues, it's all starting to look better. Guys hustle on defense. I think I heard Johnny talking about that.
They're
buying in. How long that lasts, I don't know, but it makes sense. The penalty numbers are down. They take care of the football. They don't have the weenie pistol out shooting themselves in the groin three times a quarter.
Plaxico.
The way they used to do it. They used to do it all the time.
The old weenie pistol.
I don't know if it was a leg pistol, wasn't it, for him?
Well, I mean,
whatever it is.
How do you know? You've ever been in the shower with Plaxico?
No, I can't
then
confirm
how do you
that.
Know? Then how
I
do
only
you know?
Can go with what was reported, Yerk.
It could be.
And I don't think he shot himself in the wiener.
It could be the weenie pistol.
He did shoot himself in the thigh. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's different.
Yes. How do you know?
What was reported.
Yeah, and especially me, the thigh is nowhere near to the weenie.
Some have reported.
You know, others are different. Some have
reported that he did shoot himself in the leg, but also had a bris at the same time.
Oh, really? Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah. Where have you heard this?
Yeah, had a bris.
Really?
Yeah.
Ouch.
It's not true.
Suddenly he was free and clear.
You're making this up.
To get back to the point, what the Bears used to do, or just in recent history, was cause themselves self-inflicted trouble.
Right.
Sure. They constantly shot themselves in the foot.
And their players had lost faith in their coaches. Yeah. Their coaches had lost faith in the players.
Yeah. Couldn't get out of their own way. Right. A good phrase.
And that's the epitome of dysfunction, and you don't have dysfunction right now. You've got people buying in to what the coaches are selling.
But let's not forget, after Nagy went 12-4, we were saying similar. We were
Yes, of course you were, because they were 12-4.
Right.
Yes.
So, I mean,
But, Jess, that's the whole rub of professional sports. Guess what happened? The rest of the league, they made adjustments.
Yeah.
Now you have to adjust to the adjustments, and the teams that can do that, they continue to be successful. Those that don't, they panic, they run around like their hair's on fire, and they make bad decisions. And that's kind of what we watched last year. We saw something that didn't make sense. Well, okay, we're going to play Justin now, but we're going to force him to play strictly from the pocket, a pocket that's consistently collapsing, instead of getting him out. It took them almost full 4 years to actually put together, well, three, because they only had Mitch for three, to put together an offense that was tailored to a kid that had a skill set, albeit not a dynamic skill set, one that you would have hoped for with the second pick of the draft, but had a skill set that they didn't cater to until the final four games of his fourth year in the league. Like, make that make sense.
Will you indulge me something? And I got to probably talk to the guy next to me here. Will you indulge me? Because these guys give me crap when I bring it back to baseball. But the things you're saying, Waddle, remind me of the Cubs. A year ago at this time, it was, what are they doing? Wisdom? Who are these guys? They got nothing. Now you fast forward. Like, you like the processes. You like the little core foundation. But as you said, the talent gap is still large with the Cubs. But
you got to close it.
But you do like what's going on.
The
you
pitching,
like David Ross.
Like,
you like the development. It's so eerie to me to hear both are in the same kind of category. They're trending the right way, but there's a long way to go.
You can sell me on potential and the future if it looks like the foundation is built on something formidable.
Solid. Yeah,
and solid.
Formidable, solid. Yeah. And I feel like that with the Cubs.
I need an offseason. I need the owner to show me
there's a talent gap.
I'm not buying. When they're acting like a small market team, I'm not giving them extra credit. I've told people, the bar was very, very low mid-season. And for the way they've been playing in the last 2 months, the Cubs, I went to my first Cubs game yesterday of the year, believe it or not, went with my youngest.
All the way in Milwaukee.
Up to Milwaukee we went. And look, it was one of those last Sundays without the NFL. Mm-hmm. Well, when September hits, I'm not going to the ballpark on a Sunday.
For sure.
Sundays are
Nobody
for football.
Is.
Right?
Nobody is.
Sundays are for football. So I said, hey, the Cubs and Brewers, I've been liking what I've seen. They're worth my in-person attention. But I'm not yet, until I see a full off-season plan where they're not spending like they're a small market team.
Totally agree.
I'll be in.
See, totally like agree. The Bears get the benefit of the doubt even more so than your Cubs right now, because this is an entirely new regime mm-hmm. with the Bears. Not ownership-wise, yeah. but front office. Like, Jed's been there for a while. I think right. the Bears are going to be given, they should be given, you know, by many, a kind of even a more clean slate. For now, let's see. Like, 2023, they're going to have a full complement of their draft picks and a ton of money to spend. That's go time. Like, to me,
do it right.
I'm going to be patient this year. Wins and losses right. are always important. This is professional sports, but I'm not going to measure who they are based on. They're not winning a Super Bowl this year. So if they win 6 games or 7 games or 8 games, it's kind of
all the same.
Show me yeah. that you've built a foundation, and then next year, it's go time, where we're not giving you the benefit of the doubt any longer.
And it's exactly what Sylvie said about the Cubs.
Yeah.
About next year.
Yeah.
That's it. This was a nice little, right. it feels so
all right,
similar.
Tom, you got your you ring, know? You got yeah. your ballpark,
yeah.
you got some more young players. Now what you got as far as the pocketbook?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear biblical losses. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that.
There's new macaroni coming out outside. Big statues of
that's like 10. That's macaroni. A 10 years old story.
Oh, no, it's coming that? Back. It's
the
coming back.
What was it? What was it? A Kraft noodle?
I think so. Yeah.
They sell. That
you
was
could
before.
Sit in it
yeah.
and take a picture, right? Or something like that.
Choli, they got all types of good things.
How about bring Sammy back? If you want to bring something back, bring Sammy back.
That'll make you feel good.
Oh yeah.
Everyone else is making the Hall of Fame. Why not Sammy?
Tyler asked a form of this question earlier.
Yeah.
I think the series is too easy because I think the Bulls would be the next team to win a series. I think that would be easy because they're right in the playoff window. Who, if you had to make a long shot play right now, which is the next team to win a championship in town? Who are you betting on?
The Sky.
No. Our five teams that we're talking about. The five that we talk about on a daily basis.
None of the above.
Yeah. Right?
You gotta pick one.
I would still have to say the White Sox at this moment, just because it's not going to take that much to get back to contention. A new manager,
does the owner care enough?
Players, I don't
Speaking
know.
If Tom, because, look, if I'm gonna put Tom underneath the hot on the turn up the heat on Tom. Well, the heat's way up on Jerry.
I mean, there's no doubt it is.
Does Jerry care what's going on right now?
But the Cubs, the Bears, and the Blackhawks are so far from it. They're so far from it. At least the White Sox.
You can argue that the White Sox today, but where's your faith? This is the year that this group was supposed to take that next big leap forward.
Well, like Yurko said, none of the above, but we have to pick someone. You can at least, they get a new manager, they add a lefty bat, it's not that far. I don't know. But it's a good question. The fact that we have to ask that for a team that should be fully formed in contention is the sad part.
Not the Hawks for me. I'm throwing them out. No, I don't think they know
the
what they're doing.
For anybody.
Yeah, I don't think they know what they're doing.
The Blackhawks are not it for anybody. You could throw them in the garbage right away.
Yeah, so I think then it's down to four.
And then
I think the Bulls are stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't think, just like with the White Sox, I think Jerry is happy with where they're at. I don't think he cares about going the extra mile to win it.
Your answer by default seems to be the Bears.
The Bears or the Cubs, because they've done it under this ownership.
Wow.
Is I think the way
to the
I
Bears?
Would go.
Like, I mean, with
it's default to the Bears.
I think you're underestimating some things over at the South Side that Kenny and Rick are just going to sit on their hands. But maybe the owner will force it. I don't know. I don't have faith in it. I'm just saying, out of those five.
Well, they sat on their hands going into this year.
Yeah.
Dare you say the Bulls? I mean, because
they're stuck. Like,
well, so are all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all stuck.
Like I told you, but at least the rebuild could be building for something greater. The Bulls this year, I told you this on Friday and you were surprised, are 7th in the Eastern Conference in as far as odds to win the conference. Or 8th. I think they're 8th.
Well, problem with them is
matters.
Not only
what actually happens matters.
The teams that are above them are above them. The problem with them are the teams that were behind them are starting
And that's just the East. Yeah. They're by the gambling odds, they're picked for 8th. then you got the whole West.
Do you
and
say
all
then,
these up and coming
okay,
teams.
Then do you say the Sox because you've got Dylan Cease? I mean, the Johnny Cueto magic probably isn't going to be the same in 2023 as it is now.
Do they?
Is Kopech?
He hired his delicatessen friend to manage the team.
Listen, I know.
Dude,
we
does
could,
he care?
We could play ping pong all day. The answer is not an easy one.
It's like, not easy.
Is, there's not, no one
on
is
White
really
Sox.
Standing out. I mean,
Goldman's Deli, by the way, if you want to do
yeah, right. I mean, like they're talking about over soup how they're going to fix baseball. Do either of them look like they know how to fix baseball?
Kreplak soup.
Yeah, that's a good call, Yerk.
I was in St. Louis over the weekend, and it was Hall of Fame weekend for the Cardinals. So Mark McGwire was there, Chris Carpenter, Matt Holliday, and after they got to know who I was, whatever, they're like, "How's Tony doing up there?" They're like, "What is going on up there?"
It's a different Tony up here than the one that was there.
Exactly. They like Tony, but even they are like, "What the hell's going on up there?"
I think Potsy said the best line.
I have an answer.
A football guy, Mark Potash, told us on Friday that 2002 Tony La Russa and even 2011 Tony La Russa would be down on how 2022 Tony La Russa is.
You'd like to think that. I mean, that sentence he said yesterday, I'm going to get angry but not frustrated. First of all, it's the opposite. You're supposed to be frustrated. You use anger. That's not how you react to that. Anger isn't the word. Frustrated is the right word.
I'm the angry. Team plays with apathy, which is the worst emotion of all.
Yeah.
That's the worst emotion, especially from your fan base. When your fan base becomes apathetic, and I dare I say that's where the majority of...
The fan base cares more than a lot of the people up there.
That may be true, but the fan base to me is starting to feel like they've become very apathetic.
Really? I think they're angry. I don't think they're apathetic right now. Maybe they're not coming out in droves. I believe the Sox fan base right now is angry.
Oh, yeah.
They're
well, that's good
their
for them then because
is,
it means they still care.
Does Rick Hahn watch games angry?
Yes.
Is Rick Hahn angry?
Kenny and Rick are angry.
Is Jerry angry?
That
is this what Jerry thought he was getting into?
They should all be mad at themselves because they all
have
had a hand in it.
But usually anger leads to apathy if it's not addressed. If you're angry and you do nothing, if you just, let's bring them all back, then it turns into apathy.
Well, Carm's a big Sox fan. Meller's a big Sox fan. How would you describe your emotions? Are you pissed off or you're apathetic, Meller?
I was pissed off early in the season, and it went exactly where I figured it was going to go at a certain point, and so now I've reached apathy. This weekend,
most dangerous emotion of all from a fan.
After Friday night, Saturday and Sunday, they garnered very little attention from me.
But you have to wonder if literally season ticket holders are going to wait until they do something with the manager. The manager has sucked up so much oxygen in this city. Like, if you're angry, the way to alleviate that would probably be, let's start with changing managers.
Someone tweeted me and they said, and it's one of these guys who doesn't listen. Because we say, there are lots of people who say, we all say, there are lots of people to blame. The players are to blame. Rick Hahn's to blame. The owner's to blame. Tony, though, has some of the blame.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Someone said, it's raining. Let's blame Tony La Russa that it's raining outside. And my response to that is, Tony wouldn't provide anyone with an umbrella. I'm not blaming Tony for it to rain.
Right.
I'm blaming how Tony responds to everything.
Yes.
Whether it's Romy leading off and AJ Pollock has a .319 batting average, whether it's intentionally walking guys with 1-2, whether it's not knowing the rule book, whether it's putting Kopech and others in the line of fire when they're injured. This is a guy who's not providing any stability to some rocky waters. He's not the reason why it's raining, but he may be the reason why the house is taking on water.
Yo, Skip, can I get a rain jacket over here?
Flush out, kid. Yeah, I ain't got nothing.
You fend for yourself.
Sylvie, you summed it up perfectly there. You and I are in agreement. We've disagreed a little bit here and there. I agree 100% with what you just said. He has not reacted like a Hall of Fame manager should be reacting.
Okay, so I got a question now.
Yeah.
How many games they got left? 35?
34.
Oh, 34. I mean, the odds are that this 30. Isn't going to... No. They're not going to make it to the postseason in any way, shape, or form, right?
No.
If that's the case, what happens going forward?
That is a great question.
Now, seriously...
That's what Sox fans should be worried about.
Of course. My thought is like if we had this conversation last week, Tony's not just going to... unless you tell him to go. What if Tony says, I want to fix this?
I think Jerry will
You've
let
had
him.
2 years to
I
fix
think Jerry's
it.
Gonna, well,
you've had 2 years to be the solution.
Yeah.
Now you're going to fix it?
I was with the Baseball Tonight guys and the crew last night, Eduardo Perez, Buster. They're all thinking the same thing. What happens? Is he really going to can him? Or does he have to walk away on his own?
You don't have to, quote, can him. You could just shake hands, hug,
well, right.
and say,
but what
we
if,
try.
What if Tony says, what if Tony says I want to try for a third time?
Then you've got to be a sports owner and say, it's not the right time or place
and
anymore.
I don't think it will.
You know how it could happen? Jerry and Tony can convince each other that it was another injury-filled season. They could absolutely do that.
They're part of the reasons why it was injured. Oh. When Eloy was rehabbing and they started him too quick both times.
But you're using logic.
They never put Robert on the IL with the wrist injury, and he's still dealing with it.
The
Kopech out there after he told you he was hurt.
But you're using logic, and the hiring of Tony was never based in logic.
The Kopech one is bad. I'll give them one benefit of the doubt. You want to give him a couple pitches to see, but once that velocity was down, he should have been gone.
Not four batters.
Because every player is going to say, oh, I feel fine. But now you have evidence. It's 90 instead of 95.
Of course.
But anyway.
Bears won.
Yes.
Bears.
That was fun.
Let's drink the Kool-Aid.
That was fun.
Yeah. Look, for a couple weeks, I still think they beat Frisco in week one.
I think it's going to be a close game, Yerk.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I don't know if they beat them, but I think it's going to be an interesting game.
They cover the 7 then. But that number is going to come down. I guarantee it.
I believe it. It'll come down a little bit.
Yeah, maybe 6, but I think
they
covered
it right now. Then
17-13 San Francisco.
There you go.
So we got some great sound on the Bears. Are you drinking the Kool-Aid? Are you more optimistic today than when the preseason started? How do you believe now the season's going to go? I've got a poll question on the win total. 312-332-3776. If you're frustrated about the Sox, whatever is on your mind from the weekend, we are here. I believe we're guest free. So we it's us and you, and we want to hear from you at 332-3776.
Boys, have a great afternoon. Have a great show. We'll be listening.
Stay dry.
You got it. Yurko, love you.
As a city full of frozen pizza fans, Chicago knows we can count on Connie's to deliver authentic pizzeria flavor right at home. I love it. Kids do too. Connie's means quality because their frozen pizzas are made with only premium ingredients. And whether you have a taste for their famous cornmeal dusted thin crust, which I love with pepperoni, or their new crispy on the outside, soft and airy inside pizzeria style crust, Connie's Frozen has you covered with restaurant quality pies. You can cook on your own time. Find Connie's wherever frozen pizzas are sold, like Joel Osco or Mariano's. Bring home the best today. Connie's. Real pizzeria flavor is in the house.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Fields on the move. Want to see more of this and want to see a lot of that. That's Cole Kmet. Spinning his way to a first down. Keep an eye on him in the trenches as he pass blocks. Fields protected, throwing, touchdown! It's the first for Fields of the preseason. Nice move to the outside. Dante Pettis had Greedy Williams on skates, and Fields finds him for a 12-yard touchdown. It is Fields surveying, pointing, tossing, end zone! Cole Kmet, touchdown! What a 30-snap series for Justin Fields and the Bears offense. 3 touchdown passes from Fields on an excellent close to the preseason.
Stop, Bears.
There you go. The highlights on Fox 32. Adam Amin with the call. Justin Fields, 14 of 16, 156 yards. 3 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Got more than
Hold
we asked
on.
For.
Hold on, I'm reading the fantastic line. Let me enjoy the line. 146.9 on the quarterback.
You good?
Yeah, I got a towel. Let me get in a full lather here.
So you can bring him a towel. Bring him a towel.
Look, I get it. It's preseason.
I don't think anybody's trying to bring you down.
No, I'm not saying me personally.
I think everybody's propping you up. Enjoy your team, however they present themselves.
And I don't know what this means for the regular season. I don't. I'm not going A plus B now equals this for the regular season. But I'm telling you, in the short time that I've watched them and only can judge them on the practices, the way their processes have gone, the three games that I've watched them play, I like their preseason. A lot of it has made sense to me. I think they're moving in the right direction. Again, what that nets them, I'm not sure. But like I told you, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, we didn't know if they would even play their starters in the last game. They played, and they played well. That was the right call. We said that at the time. I wanted one offensive score from the first team offense. We hadn't seen them score a touchdown, just a field goal. They only had four possessions. They gave you three. So in the context of just simply watching them in a preseason game to get ready for the preseason, how could you not like what you saw?
If you didn't like what you saw, I don't know that you were watching the right thing. Again, you put it into context, but you had to like what you saw because it was simple. It was also impressive. It was all of what you wanted to see heading into the regular season. It was clean. That's what's impressed me most about the preseason so far. Hasn't been really the individual performances, or it's been clean. Defensively, guys hustle. They run to the ball. They don't make a ton of mistakes. Offensively, you're not seeing a lot of first and 15s. You just aren't. Guys aren't jumping. They're coming out of the huddle with, you know, less than 4 seconds to go on the play clock. There's a confidence. It just looks right. It feels like they're much better coached. Again, I don't know how many wins that will equate to, because I do believe personally, just myself, that there's an enormous gap in terms of talent between them and a lot of the upper echelon teams in the NFC. It'll take a year or two for that to close. But what you're looking to do is build the foundation. I've said for weeks, I like their plan. Will it equate to a championship? I don't know. But I like the way they've gone about their business, and I think the early dividends are it looks like a professional operation. Again, it may not be the most talented operation. You don't see a lot of penalties. You don't see a lot of turnovers. You don't see a lot of mental mistakes. The quarterback looks like he's making progress. The offensive coordinator looks to have a pretty good feel for what he has, and the game plan is built to put him in position to take advantage of what he does well. They've gotten Cole Kmet involved in games. So you got to like everything that you've seen. Like, there's not a ton. The only negative I would say to you, and again, this is nitpicking, is this team's going to have to rely on their running game quite a bit this year. That's got to be part of their. And this year in the preseason, they've averaged 2.7, 3.5, and 3.1 yards per carry in their three preseason games. Again, I'm not expecting a 13-win season. But they need to get the running game going to take some pressure off the quarterback and the passing game as well. So that would be one thing I would look at and say to you, what do they need to be doing better other than the obvious is, come on, we got to get this running game up and going.
I saw this from Eric Lambert. He tweeted this over the weekend. He said the Bears as a team, including all three phases, committed a total of 8 penalties across 3 preseason games. When you watch the Dallas Cowboys play. And
that's a quarter.
Yes. And again, the Cowboys are in their window. That should be a team that is smart and a team that's more efficient. Again, opening game, we could see 12 penalties. I'm not telling you because there was only 3. But I can tell you in the 3 games that I've watched, and we're only judging them on what we've seen so far, how could you not love that? How could you not? How could you not love seeing guys schemed open? Making it easy on the quarterback to make the throw. Could you not love, you heard the Adam Amin highlight about they're going to roll him out. Here we go. How many times were you begging Nagy to roll out Trubisky, to roll out Fields? Roll him out. You were doing that with Cutler too. Cut the field in half.
Yeah.
And stuff is making sense.
I've said all along, I think the fun part of this season is going to be watching Luke Getsy in his first season in full control of an offense. Remember, your head coach is a defensive guy. There's not going to be a head coach looking over the shoulder of the offensive coordinator. It is his group. So every decision that is going to be made is going to be Luke Getsy's decision. It's not going to be, hey, Matt Nagy, I'm calling plays. No, John DeFilippo's calling plays. No, Bill Lazor's going. No, there's one guy. Now, early on, it looks like it makes sense. They've simplified things, and they're playing to the strengths of their guys. Now the next step is, when a team is ready. Because in preseason, nobody's game planning for you. When the San Francisco 49ers line up and game plan for you in your first series, and you're running your boots and you're running your play action, and they have a designed approach, you still may find success. But then what do? If you're bouncing your head against the cabinet door because the defense is game planned for some of the things you do do well, how do you adjust to how they're playing you? That's the next step. It's all going to be a process this year. So that, to me, is one of the – I think it's an exciting thing for me. Getsy comes from a program where it makes sense. It's enhanced by having a great quarterback. I get it. But he's been with coaches that have been doing this a long time, and they've been doing it successfully. The plan works in the modern era of football. How will Luke Getsy handle this offense and what defenses show him? First-time offensive coordinator, first-time play caller, first-time him installing game plans. I think it's going to be fun to watch him kind of do his thing as well.
312-332-3776. How you feel about the Bears? Do you feel better about them after seeing the preseason? After the Roquan standoff came to a conclusion, though he didn't play? I also think that's interesting food for thought, because he did not play and we were expecting him to play. Was that his call? And if so, is he pulling something, or is that just simply a player not wanting to risk it when he's had a short preseason and there's no reason to in the third preseason game? But it's food for thought. 312-332-3776. I think you were on the team that last had a perfect preseason.
I don't remember that.
I read that the last time the Bears were perfect in the preseason was the 1994 Bears.
And we went to the postseason that year.
You did.
And won a game in Minnesota and then got our asses kicked in San Fran.
But you won a playoff game. I mean, I'm not saying that this is going to win a playoff game.
A plus B equals playoff season.
So I've heard that. I've heard, hey, the last time the Bears went undefeated in the preseason, they went to the playoffs, won a game. I've also heard a lot of people have been throwing around that the 0-16 Lions went undefeated in the preseason. Is that right? It's got to be
that,
right.
I don't know. If somebody said it, probably I would put my money on it.
I was drinking the Kool-Aid with some wine, and when you mix those things, you get a very happy and aggressive gambler. I went over plus 6.5. And I keep telling myself, stop playing the futures. They get to keep your money for 5 months.
Yeah.
You don't get to see your money forever, even if you do win. We said it was at a perfect place.
I think it is at a perfect place.
But I was getting it, I want to say at DraftKings, it was like a plus 165.
It's good value.
So since it was value, I'm like, all right, can they get, so I did drink it maybe a little more than I should have, but I'm just, at least I'm juiced up and ready to go for the opening game of the season, and I'm not already down about how bad things are going for the Bears.
Yeah, I wouldn't be overly pessimistic or optimistic about laying money down on them. I can see 6 wins. I can see 7 wins. Like, so I think 6.5 is perfect. If it was at 6, I'd say absolutely bet it, because if you get 6 wins, you push.
Right, right.
I think 6.5 is probably you know, perfect.
What if you had to make a play? Would you still go under?
I'd probably still go under. Yeah. Just because, I think it's more about their talent gap between themselves and the most of the teams that they play.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing, again, is I think that is evidence, at least a little bit early on, is that I don't think that they're going to beat themselves quite as frequently as they did last year and a year before. I think they're a little bit more disciplined. Maybe that is something that will wear off in the regular season. But right now, again, I think that's probably the most positive thing I pull from the preseason, is that these guys, process-wise, look to be a professional outfit.
Yeah.
And that's something to build on.
And there was an interesting report today from an NFL insider. Are the Bears still in the trade market for this player? This would surprise us. I want to play that for you. Brian Baldinger is making big proclamations about the Bears after a preseason game. 312-332-3776. Want to hear from you. I mentioned we're guest-free the entire show. So we have plenty of room to roam today with you, with us, whether you want to get in on the Bears, whether you want to talk about your disappointment on the White Sox. Are you past the disappointment? Are you in the don't-care mode? We wondered on Friday if that angle play would be the play that broke the Sox. And if the three games against Arizona was any indication, it sure looks like it may have broken them. But we'll get to the trade possibilities. Could this player still be traded before the regular season starts? One NFL insider thinks so. We'll play it for you next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Been a last 24 hours full of storms in the area. Hope you're getting around okay. Waddle and Sylvie inside the old National Bank studio. 312-332-3776. Not only can you listen to us on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 on the FM side, the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch us on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Everyone's gearing up, ready for football. What did you say during the break? You said the best line of the day.
And you said it's nice not to hate your football team before the regular season kicks off.
I mean, that's the best way to sum it up.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's setting the bar at a pretty appropriate spot.
Well, yeah.
It's nice not to hate your football team before the regular season begins.
But baby steps here, yeah. Right? And then that will, like, this is Chicago. We will have high demands.
Yes.
There's no way it should be a 36, 37-year drought. We could go through the history on all the playoffs, but, like, it's a new regime. But it's sort of nice where everything has made sense, and you're not going into that opening day just with your fist balled up, ready to say none of this makes sense. Now, a Jenkins trade would make you scratch your head, though.
Yeah, I don't know what the dynamic here is. It feels like Tevin Jenkins has kind of found his stride, found his mojo as a guard. And yet there are still reports that dealing him is still very much on the table.
We've got the got the audio. I want to play this for everyone. So Ian Rappaport, like a lot, I've said this a lot. I get this on Bears Twitter a lot.
Peggy had this story, you know, several weeks ago as well.
Well, a lot of people who are really guzzling the Kool-Aid think that this is a media-driven story. Now, remember, when Rappaport and Shefty report these things, they're in the know. It's like Woj in the NBA. Like,
what does the media get out of, you know, peddling a story if it doesn't have any legs?
They said, you know what we need to do today? Let's come up with some random rumor about Tevin Jenkins out of the thousand. Well, how many pit players are in the NFL? 1,600? How many
players? Yeah, it's like, let's just say 1,850 NFL players.
You know what we need to do? We should start peddling a rumor about Tevin Jenkins. That will get the clicks up. That will move the needle right there. So, like, a lot of people refuse to believe that the Bears were engaging in trade talks about Tevin Jenkins, or refuse to believe that there was beef there regarding Jenkins maybe not wanting to play guard at the start. He wanted to be a tackle. What was wrong with him to begin training camp? Why didn't he practice? Whatever it happened, whatever was there, it seems to be rectified, that they did a good job getting him back on the field, getting him healthy, and getting him playing, and look like it's solving an issue at guard, which would be great coaching. Now, maybe not. This is Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, about an hour and a half ago.
Ian. Well, let's talk about some of the guys who could end up being released. I would say maybe more likely traded. We'll see which way it goes. A lot of times, as you guys know, there's a little bit of both, a possible release, maybe a trade. We'll go to some offensive linemen, some highly drafted offensive linemen. First of all, Tevin Jenkins from the Chicago Bears has been the subject of trade calls for a little less than a month now. I know the Chicago Bears, from my understanding, have engaged, have not come up with a deal just yet. Also moved him to guard, and it sounds like he was somewhat impressive there. So I'm not so sure they cut him, but a trade, from my understanding, certainly possible here.
Which would surprise me.
Yeah,
are they a week or two behind the story? Or does Rappaport not get a week or two behind a story?
I don't know that they do. Look, maybe they are actively trying to shop him. I don't know. Like, from our perspective, we look at their offensive line and it scares the hell out of you, because that has been an issue for them for quite some time. And you're thinking, hey, they had a second-round pick. He didn't work out last year. It looked like he was going to be, you know, someone that was sent to the scrap heap. But oh no, we've kind of redeemed him in his career by moving him inside at guard, and he looks like he's found a home there. If they're still trying to deal him, something tells me that like there's a fit issue there, that maybe they don't think that he can stay healthy. Maybe he's not buying into what the new staff. Again, this is all speculation.
Right. Like something doesn't seem right.
Right.
With that report. Like, yeah. It seems like the one thing they've done is gone youthful, at least.
Yeah.
Where they've taken Schofield, they've taken Reef, who are older veterans who may just be replacement level players anyway. And they said, look, if it's close, let's play Borum, let's play Jenkins, let's play Braxton Jones, and at least have a young up and coming line, even if they're not overly great right at the beginning.
Yeah, I'm still kind of perplexed as to why he wasn't out there from the jump. Like, was he refusing to be out there? Did he not, you know, didn't like the fact that they didn't anoint him their starting right or left tackle? Was that, you know, your first impression in a lot of ways is a lasting impression, especially on a new staff that is coming in. And they kick you inside, you're a guard, and they say, yeah, he's a guard, but like, and he's done a nice job there, but like, he's not a Hall of Fame guard, and maybe we don't think he can stay healthy, so...
But
if someone's willing to give us a third round or a fourth round pick, maybe we're... Look, I don't know. That's why I'm trying to find an explanation for you as to why they may still be shopping.
Like, on the surface, it seems like the offense is functioning.
Yeah.
Nothing dumb has happened. That they've got some sort of a little momentum going in. Why ruin that?
I think this is
who there instead.
I think this is a team, too, that we were talking upstairs. 3.5's the number. Over under the number of players that they'll claim off of other teams. It's the first year of this new regime.
Cuts are tomorrow.
They're a team that I think is going to be very active looking at guys, whether they were draft picks that didn't make it or free agents that went elsewhere and then got caught up in a numbers game. I won't be shocked if Ryan Poles is very active claiming guys that have been released by other teams. Maybe they feel there's a guard out there that they can claim, they can put him in, they can plug and play, and they don't have to worry about a guy that isn't buying in or isn't happy. I don't have any idea. I'm just speculating right as to why this team may be still trying to move him.
All right. I got some callers. I want to get to all you guys. Bob and James, we'll start with you guys. 312-332-3776, the Jenkins stuff. There's also some national analysts who love what they saw. There was one national analyst who believes the Bears have their coach and quarterback now going forward. We'll play you all that sound. 332-3776 coming up next.